Good pass up front. Galchenyuk shoots. He scores!
Oh.
Great setup by Eller to Galchenyuk, who waits, goes blocker side on Grubauer, who needs a penalty shot. It's 4-1 Montreal.
Wow. And made that save. That'll be the save of the week for sure.
Nothing going right for the Caps. And now Eller, a breakaway. Lars Eller right in. And he put it over the net. He stopped, went forehand, ran into the goalie. And now there's a penalty coming.
Yeah. Oh, Lars.
Mike Richards to Niskanen in deep. Threw it to the front of the net. There's a chance. And Richards stopped by Condon somehow. He had his back to the play. It came right to Richards. And he hit Condon with a shot.
He just turned his arm around and in desperation. And made that save. That'll be the save of the week for sure.
No, they didn't show it during the game, and then, like I said, I didn't even know I stopped. I felt something hit me. I wasn't sure if it was a stick or something, but yeah, they told me after the game. So very, very lucky, and just happy it hit my hand.
And Ovechkin reaching in, but the puck poked to the corner, and time expires. The Canadiens have upset the Capitals. They beat them by a score of 4-3.
Pierre McGuire brought to you by Montreal's messiest sandwich, Dagwood's Chili Dag, with pepperoni, cheese, peppers, onions. Dagwood's famous chili and sauce comes with a bib.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How are you?
Excellent, Mitch. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I ended up watching a lot more of the Canadiens Capitals than I was anticipating with Boston and Pittsburgh and you down in Boston. And you just never know, huh?
No, you never should disrespect another team either when you start a game. And I don't think Washington was ready to play that game. The Montreal Canadiens clearly were ready to play that game. Outside of the Orlov goal, that I didn't like the way Mike Condon was set up on that one. I thought most of the night was very strong for Montreal.
Yeah, it's interesting because not only did the shot, that shouldn't have got in, but leading up to the shot, Eller had him along the boards, let him go.
Right.
Galchenyuk kind of waved at somebody in the neutral zone. That line, as good as they were, they didn't play again until 2 minutes left in the game. A lot of people were wondering why was Galchenyuk down at 13 and a half minutes. He should be playing more, and he should be playing in the middle.
Okay.
So Pierre, here's because we went through this with a pretty good centerman in his day who scored over 400 goals in the NHL, Ray Ferraro. If you're Marc Bergevin, okay, you know how your coach feels. He was asked specifically about after making the announcement that Galchenyuk is going to play center all year, and then of course he ends up on the wing. And the last time he spoke publicly in response to, well, what happened to Galchenyuk and what's with his development? Is he a centerman or not? And he said his coach, Michel Therrien, is searching for solutions. And that's why he moved him back to the wing. At this stage of the season, and let's give it to them that maybe on trade deadline day something will happen that will create another hole down the middle. But if they take to the ice in San Jose on Monday night after the trade deadline and Galchenyuk is not in the middle, what are you to make of this if you're a fan?
Who's in charge? That's what I'm to make of it. Who's really in charge? Because if that's what the scouting staff scouted him and drafted him for, and if that's why the general manager used a third overall pick to take the player so that he could be the dominant big center that the team hasn't had in forever, and all of a sudden the coach says, we're not playing him there, then the general manager has to say, you are playing him there. This doesn't have to be a problem. I understand he's got some growing to do as a player, and I'm going to understand that completely for the rest of this year. But this is where we're doing live fire exercises, and he's going to get better because we're going to give him a lot of reps.
And tonight's number one star of the game with the Montreal Canadiens with two goals, number 27, Alex Galchenyuk.
There are people out there, and I don't know if it's as a result of the Canadiens themselves explaining in off the record conversations with some of the people that they may talk to, but you know that he's not, or there are some people in town who also played center in the NHL. They don't see him as your classic playmaking centerman, a la Joe Thornton or Nick Backstrom, and like why not
How
just
Tyler
let
Tyler say again?
Why not just let him be? Let's see who
Tyler
he is.
Say again, playmaking center.
Steven Stamkos?
They're shooters. They're shooters. There's Patrice Bert. There's not a lot of pure playmaking centers around. There's Kopitar. There's Getzlaff. There's Taves. There's Barkov. Crosby. Malkin's more of a scorer.
Thornton.
Thornton. just going around the league.
You know, I was watching last night, and I'm going, you know, this, I can't wait till Monday night in San Jose, because this is nuts already. But and I was watching some of the Colorado game, and I saw Alex Tanguay, and I went, geez, there's an interesting guy. There's a guy who, like, traditionally, it's the wingers who bury passes from their playmaking center. But you got Tanguay, who's had a nice career, can't stay healthy, but he's a playmaking guy who happens to be a winger, right?
Marcus Naslund, same thing.
So if you can combine a playmaking winger with a centerman who can score and finish like Galchenyuk, who also has the ability to make some plays,
yep,
that's the perfect scenario, right? Isn't it easier to get a winger than it is a centerman?
Really hard to find centers, good ones. I was talking to Donnie Sweeney about that yesterday. He says people don't trade good centers. So you know what I said to him? I piled on. I said, you guys did. You traded Joe Thornton.
Yeah, not him.
And I got crucified because I said that was a brutal deal that would haunt the Bruins forever. And I said that it wouldn't surprise me at all if Joe Thornton ended up being an MVP. He won the MVP his first year there. Obviously, he hasn't won it since, but he won it there. And I still, to this day, I know they were mad at him, but still, what are you doing? What are you doing?
And he's still so good. He still controls the puck.
I was out there about 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, doing a game. Oh, man, he just controlled the entire game. He had 4 points the other night. Just controls the game against St. Louis.
And, you know, with David Desharnais out, it's not like, you know, they've got to give Desharnais this ice time. He's not there, and he's still not in the middle. I hate repeating myself. But
Get it out.
You know, I just can't believe that we're this late into another season and we're wondering where Alex Galchenyuk is going to play when that is a statement draft choice in your first draft as an NHL general manager.
Absolutely.
You want to add anything to this?
Me?
No, I'm looking at Gallo. And...
No, I think I've been saying it for a while.
On the Galchenyuk thing, I really have nothing to add.
Yeah,
it's like I don't understand why he's still not there. And Pierre, I asked this before, but like, why are the Canadians handling Galchenyuk differently than the Panthers are handling Barkov? Because I look at Barkov, he's the same size, he's the same age, he had the same pedigree coming into the NHL. Barkov has got his reps and looks like he's taking off. Galchenyuk is still floundering between center and wing.
That's a great question. And you know what's funny? The assistant coach in the Montreal Canadiens organization a long time ago, Gerard Gallant, he's down in Florida. He's got Barkov. Well, before he got hurt, he had Barkov really going. I mean, Huberto, Barkov, and Jágr was probably the most underrated line in the league for good portions of the season.
Well, there's another name that's haunting Canadiens fans. I want to play in Montreal. It'd be nice to hook up with Thomas Plekanec. It might help the power play.
Two guys from Kladno. Yeah, they might have helped the power play.
Well, that's strange.
Yeah, strange days indeed. If you're Sergio Momesso and Dan Robertson in the broadcast booth following the Montreal Canadiens with Pierre McGuire every day after 5 on Melnick in the afternoon as we inch closer to the trade deadline on Monday. TSN coverage at 8 RDS. RDS coverage begins at 6 a.m., Pierre.
Those guys better have a lot of Red Bull.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's a long day.
So yesterday,
I'm taking a red eye back from Anaheim that night. I'll be on the set of TSN maybe an hour late.
So you were in Boston. You worked the game, and poor Mike Sullivan back again loses badly to the Boston Bruins, his hometown team.
Oh, it was a tight game, Mitch.
No, I know. Tuukka Rask made a lot of saves. I know, but it's still, you know, you go back home and you lose 5-1, and
right,
they've had trouble. They've had trouble with the Bruins. The Penguins have.
They really have, yeah.
And. But the big story there, as we talked about before the game, is Louis Erickson. There's news in the last 30 minutes or so that the Bruins may have increased their offer or added a year to their contract offer to Louis Erickson.
Did we talk about this yesterday? Why is everybody in such a rush to trade Louis Erickson? If I'm Donnie Sweeney, there's no way I'm trading him. If I don't get him signed, that's okay. I'm not panicked because I'm trying to make the playoffs. Didn't make it last year. Louis Erickson is an important part of my team. The chemistry he has with David Krejci is phenomenal. Mal Pasternak's going, so that's a real formidable first line. He's a key part of your power play, which on any given night can be 6, 5, or 4 in the league, and has been as high as 1 in the league. So Why are you in a rush to trade him? And if you've got all these prospects come, and believe me, they do. Talk to Trevor Timmons. He'll tell you Bruins have D-plus and A prospects all over the place. All over the place. So I don't know why you're in a rush. I wouldn't trade him.
David Pastrnak, number 88, a penalty shot with 4 minutes to go in the first period. Here he comes over the blue line to the left circle, pulls up, shot, and he scores! Low glove side on Fleury, a penalty shot goal from David Pastrnak, and it's 1-0 Bruins.
I think it was like within minutes of each other. You had Pastrnak scoring, you had Gallagher getting a penalty shot and being stopped by Grubauer, who came in for Holtby. So that was one of the two goals that Pastrnak scored. And did you anticipate the Bruins being this good offensively, like through the lineup up front?
No, absolutely not. I didn't think the Canadiens would be very good 5-on-5. I told you that from the beginning, but I thought Boston would not be great. I really didn't. I thought they'd be just adequate. I never thought Marchand this year would have a 30-plus goal season. He's got 31. I think he's going to get to 40. He told me during the third period, he really felt during the timeout, he says, I really feel I can get to 40. And I'm like, wow, that's great. And he just says the chemistry he has with Bergeron is phenomenal. And Brett Conley's gone onto the line and done some serviceable board things for that line that's helped them. But I never, especially with the injury to Krejci, I never thought anybody was expecting Louis Erickson to explode offensively the way he has. I don't think a lot of people thought when Kelly went down that they would find so much offense from Ryan Spooner. I mean, they've done, I give Boston full credit. And the biggest thing I give him credit for is Claude Julien. I don't think he's ever coached this well, even though he's won a Stanley Cup. He's been a coach of the year. I think this is the best he's ever coached.
Oh, I forgot when we had Ray on after four that Landon had scored last night.
Not only scored, he got in a hellacious fight.
Oh, really?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
That one I missed.
Who fight with Scott Wilson. And it was crazy. It was right in front of me. And it wasn't like there was any bad blood. There was no big hits between those two. And I said to Johnny Forslund, who I was working with upstairs, I said, this has to be a carryover from the American Hockey League. Because it was like out of nowhere.
So, Pierre, with the loss, and I know they're getting Malkin back, but so they're clinging to
it. Bonino. They're getting Bonino and Malkin back.
They're clinging to it. New Jersey won't go away. Every time you think, okay, we're going to start to separate.
Big game for them tonight, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
In Columbus.
Yeah?
No, I'm just talking about Jersey, just so everybody knows. That's where Jersey's at. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, but they have a goaltender doing what we've seen Carey Price do, doing what we saw Jose Theodore do in
0-2. Corey Schneider?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's more than just him, though. Zajac and Henrique have been outstanding for them through the middle. The additions of Lee Stempniak, this is all on Ray Sherrill, by the way, the addition of Lee Stempniak, the addition of Kyle Palmieri, the addition of John Moore. this is general managing 101. This guy went in there and had a plan, the kind of team they're going to be, the way they're going to attack. And he told his coach, if you can't coach that way, you're not going to coach here.
So because they find themselves where they are in the mix, do they do
they're trying.
Do they, you know, do they accelerate this rebuild a little and go for it?
Well, they're going for the cup and going for a playoff position are two different
going
things.
Going for a playoff position.
I would say they're going for a playoff position. They're not going to jeopardize Pavel Zacha going forward, who's a top prospect. Their first round pick, I should say, last year. So that's, there are a few untouchables there. Corey Schneider's one of them. But I would say that, yeah, they're going to try to do something. The one place of depth that they have internally is on defense. They've got some good young defensemen. John Moore and Andy Green, older guys that are there, make some of the younger guys, tradable, let's say. David Schlemko's had a phenomenal year. He's another Ray Sherrill addition. He's had a phenomenal year, so he helps. So I think if you're looking at if they're going to tweak anything, they're going to tweak pushing maybe some guys out of the back end and maybe adding some forward play, but we'll see. I mean, he's trying. Like a lot of guys, he's trying.
So here's a key guy from another team that won't go away.
I don't really know what's going to happen. Brothers stealing brothers is not what I want to see, but at the end of the day, if that's the way it works out, the way it works out.
Jordan Staal of the Carolina Hurricanes, whose brother Eric clearly is probably on his way out, and with a possible landing spot with Mark in New York.
Yeah, but Okay, so that begs a question. It just begs a question. How unlucky is it for the Stahl brothers to be in Toronto when the team stinks in Toronto? There's not much to talk about. Everybody knows Toronto's in a full sales mode, and that's the most of the questions you have to answer. Here's my other question for you. Perhaps you can help me with this. How are the Rangers going to pull this one off?
They're going to put someone on long-term injury.
Okay. You don't think the league's going to evaluate Rick Nashko on an LTI?
Yeah, but in the short term, they don't care, these New York franchises. Lou Lamoriello didn't care.
Well,
these guys.
I understand. Just so the fans understand, I asked Mitch a rhetorical question. But that's how they're going to do it. And that's the question I get all around the league. How are they going to do this? Well, they're going to put somebody in LTI.
Well,
it's going to be Rick Nash.
We've seen it now, Pierre, right? So last year, Chicago had Patrick Kane hurt, and I know his injury was
that
serious.
Was legit.
Yeah, but he came back day one of the playoffs, coincidentally.
I know, but he had a broken collarbone. Mm-hmm. That was legit.
But they were saying, there was reports that he could have came back earlier, and he was on that long-term injured reserve specifically so that they could bring in Anton Vermette.
Okay.
This year, LA has now placed Marian Gaborik on the long-term injured reserve, apparently to also try to bring in a body, and Gaborik will come back day one of the playoffs. And now we're talking about New York doing it too.
Yeah, I'm sure that's something the league will look at. But
what's up with Rick Nash?
Doctors have to sign off on these things.
What is up with Rick Nash?
Well, they say it's a bone bruise. It may be a broken leg. But until they have full injury disclosure, nobody will know.
Well, finally, we got full disclosure on a couple of veteran defensemen, Pierre. Tom Gilbert underwent surgery today for his torn knee ligament, and he's gone for 6 months. He should be okay to start next season. And Jeff Petrie, you could tell that this was not the same Jeff Petrie. He's got that sports hernia,
right?
And he is done for the year as well.
Well, again, we both talked about it. You could tell there was something wrong with Petrie. He was not the same player. He was making terrible decisions. He did not have any thrust to his game. No jam at all. In terms of Gilbert, that's for an older player. That's a tough injury. And Tommy's been around a while now, so I don't know what that means to him going forward. It's a tough one. It's a tough one. I think we talked about it the other day. The Canadians, that used to be a position of strength for them on defense, it's starting to dwindle pretty quick.
And among the other games tonight, the Rangers in St. Louis. We've already touched on the Rangers. What do you see St. Louis doing, if anything?
Part of their problem, Alexander Steen is out, and that's a problem, and Alex Petrangelo is out, that's a problem, and Brian Elliott's out, and that's a problem, and they're running out of guys that they can move. But I think if they were in a perfect world, and they didn't have to deal with this, they would be one of the leading contenders for Drouin. They need a scoring forward.
Do you think there's any doubt that he's being traded by Monday?
No, I don't.
Do you think the Canadians have completely moved on and are concentrating somewhere else? I know you don't know,
but
I'm just asking here because that's what people
I don't know, but I do know this. I know. I only tell you the ones I know. I'm not going to make them up on you. I know three teams that want him pretty badly. There are probably more, but I know three.
Rangers?
I'm not telling you the teams.
Well, why not?
Because
you said there's three, so I'm going to try to figure out which three teams there are.
Well, if the Rangers, let's play this game because you brought it up. If the Rangers want him, how are they going to get Eric Stahl too?
Well, no, they prefer to get Jonathan Drouin. I would imagine they prefer to get Jonathan Drouin, but they got to get somebody. The Rangers, because they always do. They're going to get somebody, right?
They need to get somebody, and they need to get Nash back and playing.
Yeah.
You know, the good news for them going into St. Louis, they're getting McDonough and they're getting Mark Stahl back tonight, because their team, if they don't have those two guys, they are a shell of themselves defensively, and that really exposes Lundqvist.
So we have tomorrow to go, then we have the weekend, and then we have trade deadline day on Monday. When we speak Monday, we usually speak later on trade deadline day on Monday. Let's say we're speaking at after 6 o'clock on Monday.
Right.
Do you think the Canadiens are preparing to play Alex Galchenyuk at center against the Sharks?
I hope so. This is where, as much as you know, I'm always on the coach's side throughout this league. This is where the coach has to take the marching orders from the manager. The manager's got to be firm and say, here's what we're doing. This is our long-term vision for this team, and this is a key guy in terms of our long-term vision for this team. And this is where he has to play. So play him there. Live with the mistakes. That's the way it's got to be.
Talk to you tomorrow, Pierre. Thank you.
Have a good one. Take care. Have a good night, everybody.
On est très jeune, que ce soit à la brigade, la défensive, ou que ce soit aussi à l'attaque. Il y a beaucoup de jeunes joueurs. Pour moi, je vois ça comme voir comment est-ce que ces jeunes-là vont réagir.
I was feeling confident about our team from this morning and the start, and I had the feeling we're going to come in and win the game. And we came in, we made plays, we scored four goals, and we moved the puck well, played solid defensively, and it was a good overall team win.